Going to be fielded by Lorenzo Neal at the 25.
Yeah,
pitches it back to Wycheck. He throws it across the field to Dyson.
He's got something. 30, he's 40, got something.
50,
he's got it.
40,
he's got it.
20, 10.
He's got
5,
it.
End zone. Touchdown, Titans. There are no flags on the field. It's a miracle. Tennessee has pulled a miracle. A miracle for the Titans.
What's going on, everybody? It's your host, Gerald Saltkill, here with the Couch Scouts installment, Tennessee Titans edition of it. Like I said, I'm Gerald Saltkill with my co-host here, John Edmondson.
What's up? What's up?
Here to talk to you about our Tennessee Titans. Hopefully coming back from a better season than we've had the past two, a total of 5 wins.
Can't get much worse, man.
It really can't get much worse than that. Trying to fight back from that, we're still there. There are still Titans fans in the world.
There's a few.
Not too many, but I've been a Titans fan for, you know, since I came to Nashville. I was lucky enough to have season tickets since 99. Absolutely love the team. Was at the Music City Miracle. John, so were you.
I was there as well.
Both 9 years old, you know, strapping
what,
youngsters.
What Titan fan wasn't there?
Good question. If we were there at 9, come on. But besides that, you know, we've been good fans for a long time, trying to take this team to the next level. You know, thank God John Robinson's back. Or is here, not even back, but here.
Here. We needed a GM back.
I guess back in. Yeah, we need a GM back.
I guess a solid GM.
Or a Tennessean as well.
Yeah.
A Tennessean is back. But just some of the memorable things that I've seen over the years. I still never forget Rob Barona's 60-yard field goal against the Colts.
It's a bad
to win
dude.
That game, to walk off. RIP to Rob, of course.
Respect. I would say, besides the Music City Miracle, when Curse's rookie year. Curse was a bad man when he was rookie year. When he broke the sack record and he did the DJ thing and broke the record, that was one of the coolest things. Most memorable. I love that.
He
was
a bad dude. For a reason. They called him the freak for a reason.
Favorite Titan. Shout out Javon Curse. Miss you, dog.
For sure. Everyone, thank you for listening. Trying to get this Tennessee Titan podcast, you know, up and running here. So, John. Bringing it back, since this is our inaugural podcast, talked about ourselves for a little bit, you know, trying to get the people into it. Biggest move of the offseason for me. The biggest move of the offseason. Hands down, bar none. Nothing will top it. Getting John Robinson.
Yeah, it's not even close. Everything he has done to this point has been a effort.
Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. I mean, there's been things that have been done at the stadium that they haven't done in years. They put in all new seats. They have new vendors at the stadiums. You know, not even just outside of the acquisitions he made, like what he's been doing for the city. Getting
the
Amy
practice
Armstrong.
Facility. Have you seen the practice facility?
Oh, absolutely.
It was the most outdated in the NFL. Now it's amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
Put some money into it.
Put some money into the stadium. And all sorts of the marketing campaigns. I mean, did you see all of the new, like, welcome to Nashville, DeMarco kind of thing when we signed?
Yeah, that's what you need to do to get fans back. You have to do something. You can't just sit around and hope we win some games. You got to be proactive instead of reactive. That's been the problem for the last, I don't know, 10 years.
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree with you. And, you know, I think, to be honest with you, having two teams come to the city in the same essential year, they both got announced in 97. You know, they're going to both be in the Tennessee area. When this state had no professional sports teams. I think, like, some of what the Predators have done to become a great organization in the NHL has rubbed off on the Titans.
Well, when the Predators come, there weren't many hockey fans in Nashville, so they had to get out there and move and shake and get people to come to the games. When the Titans showed up, you're in the South, you're playing football, everyone wants to be a part of that, go see that, and they were winning. They were dominant those first 4 or 5 years, so you didn't have to do anything to get anyone to come to the games.
Your first season in Adelphia Coliseum at the time, you go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Like, how can someone not jump on that bandwagon?
That's why it was so hard for them to figure out to come back from not being a winning team. How do you get fans back in the stadium? Because they never had to do it before.
Yeah, you're right. They never had the problem before. They never had to deal with that issue one time. And with these past couple of years, you know, even when we drafted Vince Young, you know, the next season he was the rookie of the year. So it's not like we had a downtime, you know. Granted, I think we went 8-8 that year, something to that extent, but you still had a belief in a quarterback. You had a belief in something that was going on.
You had something to come and watch.
Absolutely. Yeah. What was it? Our highest pick, like having the first overall pick was you know, this obviously the highest pick we've ever had in the organization. But besides Vince Young at three, I think our highest was eight with Jake Locker. I mean, this organization's never picked in the top 10.
Like, in the Nashville, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, John Robinson is still one of the – is, in my opinion, as of right now, the best GM is making the most moves in the National Football League, for sure.
He's making some moves. That's because the Adams family finally took the shackles off and let whoever's in charge go out and do what they got to do.
Oh, gosh. The worst time of the worst time of ever was with Tommy Smith. Tommy Smith had no idea what he was doing. He wanted to come to an organization and want to be the male of the house kind of thing and wanted to – have this wonderful team and do all this stuff, but he didn't care. He didn't put any time in there.
You have to have a football guy. You have to have some type of football background. Bud was there. The AFL started. He played football to some extent. I don't know exactly what it was, but he had a football background. Tommy Smith didn't have anything.
No, he was a businessman.
Yeah, came out. Yeah, I don't know in the discussion how he was picked out of everyone in the room, but yeah, it was dark times. He made some pretty bad decisions. A lot of bad decisions.
Rustin Webster, thank you for the past 2 years of awfulness. Your drafts have been awful.
I will say one thing, though. Rustin, thank you for getting Marcus. People in this city wanted to ride out with Mettenberger. Did y'all watch Mettenberger play the other day? Oh, my God.
That was terrible.
Some things never change.
I'm not gonna lie. I was one of those believers at one point, thinking like, oh, maybe he could be the future. Wizard Hunts, you know, he's fine, got a big arm quarterback in Nashville. Oh, he had Kurt Warner, you know, in Arizona. He had, who was it, up in, he had Phillip Rivers out in San Diego before that. I was like, oh, Mettenberger could be that.
No.
And then, of course, I see that meme, you know, about 2 years ago, and it's the picture of Odell Beckham, Jeremy Hill, Zach Mettenberger, and who else was it? Jarvis Landry.
Yeah.
Like, in their NFL team colors, and it's like, we had all of these guys, and we didn't win. It was like, why is that?
They only won
and
like eight games or something.
It was like, of course, it was Mettenberger. Of course, it had a highlight picture.
People want. It was a discussion. People were split. Do we go with Mettenberger or do we get the Heisman Trophy winner?
Yeah,
it was a discussion.
Well, you can't bring the Heisman Trophy into it and say that the Heisman.
I agree, but
because you've seen Heisman Trophy winners flop all the time.
That's true. That's fair. But Jesus Christ. It's not even close. If you see the two guys on the field, if you didn't know either one of them, they walk out in blank t-shirts, they're out there throwing. It's not even close.
Yeah. I mean, you saw him. You've seen him in practice before.
I saw him.
You watched him play with each other. I remember asking you and being like, hey, like.
Mariota is the real deal. He is the face of the franchise. I'm glad Rustin went and got him.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rustin, for that.
That is true. I am glad that he got him. So we'll be honest about that one. All right. But so on to the next of GM JR's. Best move this season. So I kind of had a couple I wanted to highlight for you. Wanted to see what your thoughts are
on
these. So trading for DeMarco Murray.
Great.
Trading a fourth round pick for 2 years ago, the leading rusher in the NFL.
Yes.
Ridiculous that the Eagles took that. Ridiculous. We moved back 13 spots in the fourth round and got a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I laugh when I actually heard
it. I would say a superstar.
Yeah, I just, you know, that's the first thing. I mean, you can't really go wrong with that. Second, trading the first overall pick. Trading it to the St. Louis Rams, getting an absolute haul back. Just to remind people of what this trade was when it first happened, okay? When we first traded for, we traded the overall number one overall pick. We traded to the Rams. The first overall pick in this year's draft. A fourth round pick in this year's draft. And a sixth round pick in the 2016 draft, okay? That's all we gave to them. This was our return. First round pick, 15th overall. The Rams second round pick at 43. The Rams second round pick at 45. The third round pick at 76. A first round pick in 2017. And a third round pick in 2017. It's an unbelievable haul.
He loaded up. John Robinson loaded up.
You have.
It was a pro move. It was his. Besides DeMarco, it was the first move. Everybody sat back and went, wow, this guy knows what he's doing.
You had four picks in the top 45.
Yeah.
Four picks in the top 45 of the draft. You're looking at those four players to be potential players on your team for the next 10 years.
Yeah, one of those picks is Derrick Henry, who I was not a believer in until the other night, but he showed out too. If you're going, so you're rolling. He signed Henry, or he brought in DeMarco and drafted Henry, who might be two of the better 1-2 punches already. I know it's a little preemptive because they only played one game, but they looked pretty solid the other night.
I agree with you on that, and we'll definitely get to that. Here in a little bit. We got to talk about that first preseason game.
Yeah.
Had to have something to talk about after that. So the last is trading from 15 to 8 to get Jack Conklin.
See, I was up in the air about that too, because that O-line room is pretty young across the board.
Oh, absolutely.
And it could come back to bite you, but I guess Chance is in his fourth year, Lawan's in his third year. That is almost a veteran in itself. Like, if you should be in your third and fourth year, you need to have something going on.
Oh, this is Chance's contract.
I know it's like 8 and 9 years, yeah. But I wasn't on board at first, but he looked pretty solid in his first game. That touchdown, they ran out behind him, right? He sealed that block on the 71-yard touchdown.
Yeah, DeMarcus, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So out of those three, which one do you think is the best? I personally think trading the first pick. I was a fan of, actually, to be honest with you, you know, I was one of those Mettenberger people. I realize how dumb that was now,
yeah.
However, but
not
at the time, knew. At the time, I was all for trading the second pick, because I've seen the hauls that people have gotten back before. Look back to Robert Griffin III. Look back to what the Rams had for that pick, yeah. Right? I mean, do you remember when they sent out, like, all those guys, and then the next time they played them with Washington?
Fisher does always stuff like that. It's a thing.
For anyone that knows Jeff Fisher's history, it is some Tennessee Titans fans, that's for sure.
Yeah. I would say trading the first pick was huge. It's because you already had a quarterback, and you knew the quarterbacks are going to go 1 and 2, so why not get out of there? I think bringing in DeMarco is huge, because we haven't had, besides Delaney, we haven't had a real veteran star presence
Absolutely.
On that team in a while. I think bringing him in is awesome, because like you said, 2 years ago, he was the best back in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that he's done. I think he's in his prime still. You don't rush for league-leading rushing yards and then, you know, you're done. That doesn't happen.
Yeah,
Jamal Lewis stayed around for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Chris Johnson is still in the league right now. He still had a productive season before he got hurt last year with the Cardinals. I mean, he was one of the few flashes in the pan, I guess. I mean, granted, he did have 2,000 yards and was, you know, broke, whose was it, records for all-purpose yards.
It was Marshall Faulks at the time.
Yeah, Marshall Faulks, that's what it was. So, yes, there are flashes in the pan, but I agree with you. I think DeMarco Murray is more than that. We saw last night he broke off a 71-yard touchdown run and stiff-armed somebody and made him look like a rag doll.
Yeah. Whatever they were doing in Philadelphia was wrong. That's a bad man right there.
That was
and
a
they
bad
didn't
man.
Utilize him
North-South
right.
runner, I think he will be perfect. The perfect fit.
That's what Malachi wants to do. Shoulders square to the line, hit the hole, run over somebody if you have to.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, next point that I got for you here. Happy to see anybody go. My first is Cody freaking Sensabaugh. Please tell me you saw him get worked on last night by Dez Bryant.
Yeah, but what did you expect? Putting Cody Sensabaugh against
one
of those.
That's not what Jeff expected, that's for sure. That's not what Jeff expected.
Yeah, it was good to see him go. Secondary was bad last year. He was the only one that played all year, and it was just rough watching him do his thing. I don't want to rag on Mettenberger the whole time, but I'm glad to see him gone as well. he should not... He's not an NFL quarterback.
The Mets show.
Can't get over that. That was a thing. People were all about the Mets show for like a month.
I really just wanted my jersey idea to work out.
It was a solid idea.
I mean, hey, if you got me, you, and two other people, and we had Mettenberger jerseys, just as a seven, and instead of having Mettenberger on each of the backs, you go barbecue, bacon, cheddar, Mettenberger. Like, how great would that have been?
It's a solid idea. Solid idea, but if you brought it to me, I would be like, no, I'm not on the
Mettenberger
train.
Well, you were a smart person who knew he was going to be a flop, so yeah. Of course. Again, I just wanted my t-shirt to work, or my jerseys to work.
I mean, it's like a solid idea. You're a creative guy.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that, John. So, you know, the big thing with John coming in, I mean, he's the epicenter of anything we've done so far, in my opinion. No one's high on Mark Mularkey. I personally think he did not have the talent in either situation he was in before to be successful.
That Jaguars team was bad.
That Jaguars team was awful. You can't put that on that guy's resume. Yeah. I mean, you could have put Bill Parcells down there and he still would have been terrible.
It was a bad. There was no talent on this team.
I mean, even in his time with the Bills, correct? The Bills. I think he might have went. He had a 5-win season, an 8-win season, or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was.
If you look at that roster still. Half of it's not there anymore. Like, half of those players aren't even on the roster anymore. And granted, maybe that's some NFL turnover as it is, but at the same time, you got to have some sort of continuity to be able to be successful in this league.
I like him because people always talk about changing the culture. I think he really has changed the culture. They went from Wizenhunt's drop back, whatever that
trying
was.
Trying to be a gunslinger. Yeah. You got to have Kurt Warner be
And
successful.
Now they're smash mouth. We're going to run you over. We're going to knock your teeth out while we do it. We're going to line up. We're going to do it again.
So let's get on to that. So let's get on to your thoughts of the quote-unquote, air quotes, exotic Smash Mouth.
Terrible name, first of all. Awful. But I like it. That's what you want. You want players that are going to line up and hit you in the teeth. They're going to take my best man versus your best man. Wow. My best man versus your best man. Run them over. Do what you got to do. I like it. It's a swagger. I like it.
I agree with that. I agree. It is part of the swagger. And, you know, we were talking about it before. If you have a team that has that sort of identity, look at the Patriots, look at the Seahawks, you know. Look at those teams that are good. Look at the Broncos.
It's a mindset.
Absolutely. I mean, all of their defenses are really good. We know that. And the Titans' defense up until the last five games of the season last year were in the top 10 in overall defense.
They just brought on Dick LeBeau. He's calling the shots.
Finally, he's calling the shots. Thank God. Speaking of people that were happy to be gone, Ray Horton, have a good day. Go back to Cleveland and the fact
that
he wasn't
a bad coordinator, but Ray Horton or Dick LeBeau, it's not even a discussion.
Oh, no, not at all. It doesn't matter what age Dick LeBeau is. Until that man's carted off, he's still going to be one of the greatest minds of football.
He's 79 going on 55.
That's a good way to put it. Definitely a good way to put it. But yeah, so the exotic Smash Mouth. You know, we talked about the line, drafting Conklin, having LaJuan. This is chances put up or shut up year.
Agreed.
This is it for him. This is his contract year. We declined the option. This is his make or break year. I mean, I want him to succeed, especially because we got all these Alabama boys now. I want him to succeed. But he just hasn't shown the performances, you know. Pro Football Focus has rated him one of the worst guards in the league the past 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, what can you say about that? You can't give the guy an option. You can't sign a guy with like that. But we have nothing else right now. We're playing Quentin Spain at the left guard spot.
I would like to see him, because he played left guard at Alabama. Mm-hmm. I would like to see him maybe move around, try to shuffle things around. Maybe he's better over there.
Yeah. I think they're playing him right side now, and I say that because of the fact that we're probably making up for the lapse of Quentin Spain, and he's probably trying to help Jack.
Solid point. He's been over there his whole career, though. Why not try him out somewhere else?
Yeah, and you have a valid point, for sure, but you got to think about the young rookie coming up who's, you know, having to go against some of the best in the league. It's going to have to go against J.J. Watt, either in the division every week, or, you know, two times out of the year. More than anyone else has to face that dude, that monster.
I don't know. I wasn't excited when we drafted Chance either. I didn't think he was that great when we first got him. I didn't think he was going to be a solid guard. I really disagree with that.
I thought he'd be solid. You're coming out of an Alabama offense that runs the football like crazy, and they've had a lot of guys that have been successful.
Yeah, but a lot of those Alabama guys don't pan out as well as you think.
You can't put that on every – I mean, we're having the biggest sample size of any team ever. True. Like, the amount of players they put out in the past 5-6 years is uncomparable.
I'm not saying they're not a factory. I'm just saying they're not as successful as you think they're going to be. If you look across the board at all Alabama guys that have been drafted, it's a smaller percentage than you think of ones that are actually, like, contributing.
Yeah, and you're not wrong on that. You're not wrong. I mean, we both agree. We want Chance to be good. One of the biggest signings we had this offseason was Ben Jones. I think Ben Jones is a crucial, crucial, crucial piece. We haven't had a center since Kevin Mawai.
And that goes back to the being young in the offensive line room. They needed somebody in there that could take control and be like the alpha
veteran
male,
leadership,
I guess.
Man. Veteran leadership.
Exactly.
The biggest point, I tried to tell people this, being the Titans fan that I am and only missing one home game last year, you know, and watching all those losses happen in front of my face. If you looked at our entire offense last year, if you looked at every single member – quarterbacks, running backs, linemen, you know, skill positions. We had 6 guys with more than 3 years experience in the NFL.
They were young.
I mean, you can't win in this league like that. You cannot win in this league without any sort of veteran presence or leadership. Yes.
I agree.
Yes, there's been young quarterbacks that have been able to succeed, right?
But they have veteran players around them.
They have so many veteran players around them. I mean, even go back to you know, when Tom first came in, Drew Bledsoe got hurt. You know, that line and some of the skill positions around him were guys that have been in the league for years.
Yeah.
Granted, he had to study under a guy like Drew Bledsoe for, you know, for some time, which is not a bad mind to study under, but he had better guys around him. You threw Marcus into an offense where we're running Antonio Andrews, a second-year guy out of Western Kentucky.
Shout out Western Kentucky.
Yeah, shout out to Western.
T-O-P-S.
you have Harry Douglas, who's one of the few veterans. Kendall Wright.
You had Delaney was
one of the few veterans. But then you got Taylor Lewan in his third year. You have Taylor in his second year. Chance in his third year. You're playing a center in Brian Schwenke, who's in his second year. He gets hurt. Have to pull in up an Andy Gaelic, who's a rookie.
Yep. Fowler was a rookie. Justin Hunter's in his second or third year at the time. DGB was a lot of young guys. DGB was a rookie, yeah. Yeah, it was a young across the board. That's why I go back to bringing in DeMarco was a big deal. Bringing in a veteran superstar. I would say superstar was a huge deal.
We talked about it before. You know, what's the identity of this football team? What is the name? Like, who can you point to and say, like, that's the jersey seller? You know, we sell tickets based off the jerseys. If people like a certain player.
Marcus.
You know, who can you say? Of course it was Marcus. Like, we had to promote him. We had to get him out there. You know, but a rookie quarterback's still not going to be able to do it for you.
Yeah.
Because how many rookie quarterbacks have we seen flop over the years?
Most. If not all.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So you can't, again, you can't really rely on that. But then you bring in DeMarco Murray. Delaney Walker goes to his first Pro Bowl. Jarrell Casey, you know, who is a defensive lineman who I love. That's my boy right there, Jarrell.
He's a bad dude. Underrated. One of the most underrated players in the league.
Been my boy for years. Signed a contract extension when he knew we were going into the crapper. And still want to stay with this team. Those are the guys you had. And no one's heard of Jarrell Casey until now. No one's heard of Delaney Walker until now. You know, we had one player in the top 100 in the NFL.com's rankings, or NFL Network's rankings. And it was Delaney.
He had a great year. For a tight end, it was a superstar year.
Absolutely. Even though
he went to the Pro Bowl, I still don't think he got the accolades that he deserved.
Absolutely not.
That was a superstar season.
Absolutely not. And the guy does it all. I mean, Delaney Walker is a player, one of few of Rustin's good signings, that we saw him in San Francisco, and he was an H-back. He was the second tight end to Vernon Davis.
Yeah. Now Vernon Davis can't catch pass, and Delaney's dominating.
Yep. And that's how it works, right? If you can't catch pass from Peyton Manning, I guess I don't know what you can do. So, next, position battles. We got a lot of guys in camp, you know. I like that John Robinson has brought in a bunch of veterans, you know, like a Sean Spence, an Antoine Blake, a Bryce McCain. Those guys just filled those depth positions out, create competition.
Competition and depth, key words. We haven't had that for a while. Competition
Ever.
And depth.
I mean, we've known at least a 45-man roster for the Titans for the past 4 years. We can look at the roster and know who's going to make it.
Yeah.
Just because of where they've been drafted or where, you know.
That's very true. This is the first time since I remember where you really don't know who they're going to cut, who they're going to keep. The running backs and the receiver battles, I'm at a loss. I don't
Absolutely.
Know who you're
going to
do.
We all know Justin Hunter's gone. He's got to go back. That vault for life, get out.
I agree.
Have a nice life. Go somewhere else. Maybe he could be successful somewhere else. But right here, right now, he's been awful.
So I'm going to rattle off the wide receiver names. You tell me who you would keep, who you would cut.
All right.
So, DGB.
I'm keeping DGB.
Horn.
He needs to pick it up, though, but...
Horn. So, he's cut.
So, yeah, definitely cut.
Justin Hunter.
See you tomorrow.
Andre Johnson.
See, that's an interesting one for me. That's a very interesting thing. Because I heard a really good rant by Derek Mason the other day when I was listening to him. And we all know Tajae Sharpe has been leading all the battles in camp. He started last night at the preseason game. People have been raving about his hands, how well good of a route runner he is.
Catches everything.
He does, and he looked great last night. I mean, he was one of the standouts of the game last night. You know, granted, he's going to concussion protocol now, but hopefully he can make it back. If you have a rookie that is taking reps from a DGB, a Justin Hunter, a Harry Douglas, and an Andre Johnson, what does that say for your receiving core?
Not great.
That's terrible. Rashard Matthews was the third receiver down there in Miami.
Or is Sharp a superstar?
And that's what we're waiting for.
Yeah.
I mean, right now it says that we're terrible.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, I'm going to have faith being a Titans fan going out there every Sunday. Like, I'm going to have faith in the team. I'm going to have faith that we're going to be able to find a set of three guys that will be able to work.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Harry Douglas, Andre Johnson thing. Andre Johnson did decently with the Colts last year. If you took his numbers with the Indianapolis Colts last season, he would have had the most catches by any receiver on our team.
That's pretty pathetic.
It's very pathetic. And that's why we've been a dumpster fire for the past 2 years, and we're trying to turn things around.
Yeah,
I think that we're both not optimists. I mean, we're optimists in the sense that we hope our team can go out there and win every Sunday. But we realize we're not going to be a 13-3 ball club this year.
Yeah, you don't turn around like that.
Absolutely not. I mean, if we hit 7-9, 8-8, that is a stellar success.
Parades in the streets if we do that.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump back into this. So, Andre was a question mark.
I'd say I'm going to have to call a gut check call on him and Harry Douglas. Okay. I think one of them might make the roster.
Okay, so then Matthews.
Yes, obviously yes. Trey Matthews.
Okay, and then Trey McBride, who was a special teams return guy last night.
So that's when we get in the running back conversation. Him or Dexter McCluster, I don't think you have a roster spot for either of those guys. If you want some of these kids you've drafted to develop, I don't think you have a roster spot for these guys.
Okay, so he's another question mark. Roberts, cut. Mm-hmm. Sharp, obviously
we're going to keep.
Trezilli,
gone. No chance. See you later.
Kendall, it's got to be a check.
Kendall's got to be in check. You know, obviously, this is his contract year, too.
Yeah.
He's making a whole bunch of money on his option of the last year of his deal. Him and Chance, time to put up or shut up.
And the last one is Harry. So you're saying you got DGB, Matthews, Sharp, Kendall. So then you got Hunter, Andre, Trey, and Harry for that last fifth receiver spot. Because you think you're only going to carry five. So who would you take
that's the next question, you know, because last year we kept five tight ends and we had four wide receivers and a slew of running backs.